Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever felt inadequate for a task that God had set before you? Perhaps it was at the beginning of this quarter when you found out just how many papers you had to do in the next 11 weeks. Or perhaps it was that day that you received your first sermon back from homiletics class. That sermon you spent 8 hours researching, 5 hours outlining, 10 hours writing, and with the sermon, you receive a note from your professor saying, "I have serious problems with what you have written. I'd like for you to make an appointment with me." That same day, the wife of your fieldwork pastor calls up and tells you, "The pastor is ill and they can't find anybody else to preach this Sunday. You're their last hope." If you would feel a little bit inadequate in that situation, then you shouldn't have much difficulty identifying with the way Moses felt when God appeared to him from the burning bush and said, "I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring forth my people." Moses' reply, slightly paraphrased, was, "You've got to be kidding, God. Who am I to go to Pharaoh?" Time and again, our inadequacies confront us. What pastor has not had a parishioner say to him, "I'll be a trustee. I'll come to choir once a week, but don't ask me to be an evangelist." These feelings of inadequacy are the natural result of comparing ourselves and what we can accomplish with God's expectations of us. By ourselves, we can do nothing, least of all accomplish our salvation. That is why it was so necessary that Christ make atonement for us, so that we might have salvation. But that great accomplishment of Christ in history has much more meaning for us than just the hope of a life hereafter. When God told Moses to go to Pharaoh, Moses' first thought was, "Well, what's going to happen to me after I die?" Moses was worrying, "How am I going to cope with this problem? How am I going to deal with the present?" And to relieve the fears of Moses, God said to him, "But I will be with you." This is the same promise that Christ gave to us when in Matthew 28, he told us to go, "Lo, I am with you always." All fears should melt away with the promise of God's presence. As Paul says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" What are our inadequacies when we measure them against the power of God being with us? Yet, we sometimes doubt. Moses wasn't able to look into the future and see how God could work through him to deliver Israel from the powerful Pharaoh. And so he doubted. And he said to God, "But they will not believe me. They will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" There is a tendency among us to also make this objection. There are many people who, during the course of our ministry, will object to our evangelistic outreach. They will say to us, "You Christians think you have some corner market on the truth. You act as if God appeared to you and nobody else, that you're the only ones who really know God. God didn't appear to you." After making a call or we encounter somebody who thinks like this, the temptation might arise in us to think, "What a waste. Why did I bother driving 10 miles to see this person? I could have been back in my study working on my sermon for the people who really appreciate hearing God's word." But as God gave Moses two signs that the people might believe, so also he gives us two instruments by which the people will believe: word and sacrament. God never expected that people should trust in human promises. After all, we humans aren't the most trustworthy lot. And so he gave us his word, and the word made visible in the sacrament. And his Holy Spirit worked through these means to create faith in the hearts of people. Our task is merely to communicate these means as clearly and as often as we can to the people. God accomplishes the result. And though we may not see the result, and though we may doubt that anybody will believe us, God has promised that his word will not return to him void. It will accomplish its purpose. Now, it is true that our handicaps, our frailties, might get in the way of this beautiful message. And that is the final objection that Moses raised to God in today's Old Testament lesson, to try to relieve himself of the task that God had set before him. He said to God, "But I am slow of speech and tongue. Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." As pastors, as future pastors, we may someday have people say to us, "Yes, Pastor, I know you need Sunday school teachers very badly, but I just don't know how to teach." Someday you may find yourself saying, "I know our youth need more direction, but I just don't know how to work with the youth." But the fact that we are very poor instruments for God to work through does not relieve us of the task that God has set before us. In the case of Moses, God gave him Aaron to speak for him. And as God deals with us, he also provides means for overcoming our handicap. He gives us a place to study and to develop our talents and to try to overcome some of the things which we lack. And when we go out into our congregation, he provides us with the rich resource of the entire body of Christ, the church, from which we may find our own Aaron to assist us in our weaknesses. Most importantly of all, he gives us as Aaron to the church. One of our most important tasks is that of equipper, working with the people so that they may fulfill the commission which Christ gave to the church to make disciples by preaching. There is a great multitude of people who are trapped in bondage. Bondage to guilt, bondage to death, bondage to the fears of this life. And they will have no relief from this bondage until they know of Christ who died and freed them from sin and gave them eternal life. We have been commanded to go forth with this message, but with a God who is ever present, always watching over us, always guiding us, with a God who has given us his word and sacrament to create and sustain faith in the hearts of people, with a God who promises to assist us even with our frailties, our weaknesses, who gives us the rich resource of the body of Christ to draw from, and who promises to be with our mouth and to teach us what we shall say and what we shall speak. With such a God beside us, how could we possibly fail on our mission? True, we wouldn't accomplish a thing without God. But with God, are there any limits to what we can accomplish? Amen.